David, were you aware that the theme for this meeting was on works?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't even care that this is Labor Day weekend.
I'm going to turn the lights on because there's a lot of evil that is done in the dark. I'm going to start with defining work, and I want to quote from a high school physics book. There's principle involved in this, and that's the reason I want to do that. In the scriptures, one reads, this is a quote, by the way, out of the book, out of the physics book. In the scriptures, one reads that man must earn his bread by the sweat of his face. The average man is forced to do some kind of work, even though it may be distasteful to him. In building a home for himself, in spinning and weaving his clothing, and in securing a supply of food, man needs to use his best efforts, and he must accomplish some. Otherwise, it's not work. Effort or force alone is not sufficient. One of man's greatest joys is to experience a feeling that he has done something worthwhile. And I'm still quoting from this physics book. Work is an accomplishment. If a man holds a weight of 100 pounds on his shoulder all day long, he is merely exerting force. But in the scientific sense, he is not doing any work. He does work in lifting the weight to his shoulder. If a man tugs at a 5-ton truck and does not move it, he is not doing any work. If a force acts upon a body and moves it, then it is said to do work on the body. Usually, a man is paid for his effort, is not paid for his effort, but for the effect produced or the work accomplished. I can stand here and push on this wall all day long, and I haven't done a bit of work. I may be tired at the end of the day, but I haven't done any work. I may think with all my heart that I can pull a 5-ton truck. But if I can't pull it, I haven't accomplished a thing. I haven't done any work. Work requires action. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus said, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law are justified. That is Romans 2:13. The work must be the will of God. I might build a house, a nice house. That should be a good work. But God doesn't care whether I build a house for myself or not. So that would not be a good work as far as God is concerned. So there's a distinction between where is a good work and not a good work. Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The work must be God's will for it to accomplish anything for us spiritually. and it must be done. We can think about it all day long, but it must be done in order to be work. And it must accomplish something. If it's going to please God. Not all work is God's will. We find in the fourth chapter of Genesis the story of Cain and Abel. In process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now both Cain and Abel did a work. They both offered sacrifice. God accepted one, but he did not accept the other. Now David could tell us why, but I'm not going to. You get your chance next in the next session here. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, we're told, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." We're warned that everything that someone may tell us about what God wants or by what we are saved is not correct. The only thing, only way we can know that is by reading and studying the scriptures for ourselves. There may be false prophets, and there are false prophets in the world today. I listed a few examples of bad fruit or evil fruit or bad works. Or evil works. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkenness, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." All of those things are not pleasing to God. They're works. They're certainly works, but they're not God's works. "Speaking evil of others, brawlers, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another, and contentious." And we could go on and on. There are a lot of works that are listed in the Bible that God detests. And we will inherit the lake of fire if we participate in those things. Christians are to do good works. That is the reason that people are Christians, is to do good works. In Ephesians 2:10, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Practice that. That should be their way of life. In Titus, Jesus gave, in the book of Titus, Paul tells Titus, "Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity," "and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Again in Titus, Paul told Titus to be a pattern of good works. Again in Titus, This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Again, I'll leave that for you to justify. These things are good and profitable unto men. Again in Titus, learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Colossians, Paul tells the Colossian brethren to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. A few examples of good works. Again, it's only a smattering of what we can find there. Most of them are from the second chapter of Titus. Be sober or sensible, grave or dignified, temperate, sound in faith, love, patient, teachers of good things, discreet or modest and decent, integrity, reverence, sincerity, sound speech. And in Hebrews, we find we are to minister to the saints. That's only a few of the things. Notice that these things are not things that we might normally think of as being works, like building a house or earning our, doing the things that we earn our, by which we earn our living. But these are things that are present or must be present in the life of a Christian. They are things that take effort, and they are things that accomplish something. David read from the 25th chapter of Matthew. I think that was in the Thursday evening VBS. I want to mention a little bit about that. I won't read it all because it's long and don't have that kind of time. It's talking about Jesus putting the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then the righteous answered, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Do we need works to be saved? Then he answered, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life, eternal life. We don't think of those things many times as being works, but those are the works of God. I have a couple or three historical examples of good works. Solomon built the temple of God, and God approved of it. He filled it with his spirit. Because God had given the plan for the temple to David, and he told David that his son Solomon would build that temple. What if David had gone ahead and built that temple when God told him that he could not do that? That would have been a bad work, wouldn't it? Why? If the temple was built, why did it matter which one built it? The answer was obedience. If David had done that, had built that temple, contrary to God's instructions, that would have been wrong. It would have been a bad work. But since Solomon built it, according to God's instructions, it was a good work. I'm surprised that David didn't dwell on the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But I would like to point out that in James, the second chapter, verse 21, James says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" I'm going to skip a verse and you can talk about that later. "Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" And you can go through the 11th chapter of Hebrews where all of those works are listed, and they were works. What did it take for those people to be justified in God's sight? Works. There are some works that are required of us. A lot of the things that I mentioned, we would not all possess. We would not all do all of those works. But there are some works that are required of God. One of those is observance of the Lord's Supper. And I'm not going to read this because we hear it many, many times. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. It's where we are told that we are to observe the Lord's death. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. We are to observe the Lord's death. That's one thing that we must do, a good work. Another good work that we must do is found in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verses 24 and 25. And what that says there is that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I don't believe that that is talking about if we miss an assembly, that we have sinned. But what he is saying is, it is essential that God's people gather together from time to time. Why? Because we strengthen each other, we encourage each other, we build each other up. And it gives us an opportunity to worship God and participate in those activities. A fourth work that is required, a third work that is required of us, of all Christians, is found in the 6th chapter of Romans, to begin with. And I'm going to read that. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Being buried with Christ in baptism is a work. It's something that we do. And it accomplishes something. It's a command of God. In the 3rd chapter of Galatians, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If we are not baptized, we are not in Christ. We have not put on Christ. Therefore, we're not a Christian. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that was given to Abraham." Second Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's a work. We must be obedient to God's instructions. Those instructions must be demonstrated in our lives. And we must act upon them. And those actions are works that are required for our salvation.